It's the 1st of December. Summer, you can tell. And we have just witnessed the lighting of the first Advent candle and heard the Christmas story as told by Luke in chapter 2, verse 1 to 20. We heard how a long time ago a baby was born in a place called Bethlehem to Mary and Joseph. How his mum wrapped him in cloths and lay him in a manger. They called him Jesus, which means Saviour. How an angel of the Lord appeared to some shepherds who were watching their sheep in a nearby paddock. An angel who told the shepherds who the baby was and why he had come. Then, how a group of angels had a party in the sky, celebrating the birth of a new king. We also heard how baby Jesus was visited by shepherds and how Mary kept all these things in her heart and pondered. I wonder, when you first listened to this passage, what was the first thing that grabbed your attention? For me, I began wondering, if we did not know who Jesus was, would his birthplace be noteworthy? I mean, even today, babies are born in unusual places. I've heard on the news on more than one occasion of a mum not quite making it to hospital and the baby being born in the car. So during the week, I did some really heavy-duty research, Google search, and I found some other interesting places where babies have been born. I found this one. A pregnant mum entered the post office planning to get some credit on her mobile phone, but while inside, she began experiencing contractions and she knew she didn't have much time to get to the hospital. Her baby girl had other intentions and was born on the post office floor. Or this one. An expectant mum gave in to her cravings for some good old-fashioned fast food, McDonald's. But she ended up getting a lot more than a Big Mac or a Happy Meal. Soon after she arrived at the establishment, she experienced contractions and knew her baby was on the way. And it was here, at McDonald's, that the baby was delivered safely into the world. Can you imagine these details being recorded on the baby's birth certificate or on a social media post? But today, as we recall Jesus' birth story, we know that there was no room for Mary and Joseph in the inn. Jesus was born in a barn or the ground floor of a house where the animals were often kept, and they lay him in a manger, which is a feeding trough for animals. And although in our nativity scene in the foyer, we have a manger and animals. And when I think back to our kids' Christmas pageants, there were animals. And I must admit, I will always have a soft spot for the singing sheep. But in Luke, he does not mention that the shepherds brought with them their own animals to visit Mary or Joseph, or that there were any animals in the place where Mary and Joseph were staying. However, Luke does mention the manger more than once. So why? It has been said it is part of the birth story as it was a signpost pointing to Jesus. The manger was a visible signpost for the shepherds telling them which baby they were looking for. And we can read in verse 11, "Today here has been born to you in the city of David a deliverer, the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." However, the entire story told by Luke can be seen as a signpost to Jesus. The fact that a new king had been born in a barn and lay in a manger points to how different his upside-down kingdom would look. A king, yet born in a barn. The first people told of the arrival of the new king, shepherds, a group of people who didn't have the best reputation. The shepherds were often accused of stealing and considered ceremonially unclean because they had to deal with the dead carcasses of animals. They were often considered to be from the lower end of society. Yet in this story, in verse 8, we read that the shepherds were out in the fields, keeping watch through the night over their flocks. And then an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone up around them, and they were terrified. But then in verse 10, the angel said, "Do not be afraid." Can you imagine what it would have been like? I don't know about you, but if I had an encounter with an angel, at least for the first time, I'm pretty sure I would have had a similar response. However, as far as I'm aware, I've not been visited by an angel. However, I do think of Hebrews 13:2. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Always a good thing to remember. But back to the shepherds. They were doing their everyday thing, caring for sheep, and an angel appeared, followed by a group of singing angels. Yet the angels simply responded to the fearful shepherds, "Do not be afraid." However, I found it interesting that this experience is not unique. We only have to read in Luke 1 and find Zechariah going about his priestly duties in the temple when the angel of the Lord appears. Zechariah responded by feeling troubled and fearful, but the angel simply said, "Do not be afraid," before having a conversation with him. Then again in Luke 1, we read of Mary and her visit from the angel Gabriel. And in verse 29 and 30, it says, "She was troubled, but the angel said, 'Do not be afraid.'" So let's go back to our Christmas story. So from being terrified, the shepherds decided to believe the angel and take action. And we can read in verse 15 and 16, they left what they were doing and went and found Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus who was lying in the manger. It was here they shared what the angel had told them, that a saviour had been born, confirming what the parents already knew. Now from reading Luke for Everyone by N.T. Wright, he claims that we can assume the shepherds knew what a saviour, a Messiah, a Lord would do, as like the other Palestinian Jews at the time. And in this passage, Luke begins by telling us about a Caesar Augustus who lived far away in Rome and was at the height of his power. Now Augustus was the adopted son of Julius Caesar. He became sole ruler of the Roman world. Augustus turned the Roman Republic into an empire with himself as the head. He proclaimed that he had brought justice and peace to the world, and as his adopted father was thought to be divine, he portrayed himself as a son of God. It was said by some that Augustus was the saviour of the world. He was its king, its God. And increasingly in the eastern part of his empire, we can read that he was worshipped as a god. And it was at this time that we know in lowly circumstances, Jesus was born a new king. A king who we can read about in John 12:12-19 of being hailed as the Son of God. His followers would speak of him as Saviour and Lord, and whose arrival they thought would bring true justice and peace to the world. But Jesus would never meet the Roman emperor. But we know from reading Matthew 27 that he stood before his representative, Pontius Pilate, who handed him over to be crucified. Returning to the Christmas stories, my thoughts rest on the dramatic way that God shared the news of the birth of Jesus with everyday people who were doing their everyday thing. Here it could be easy to stay focused on the individual details of the story. But I was reminded of how thankful we can be to have a relationship with Jesus today. But also thankful that God can speak to us in prayer and through the words in the Bible by His Spirit. We don't have to wait for a visit from an unusual messenger or from a group of singing angels. And it is in these daily encounters with Jesus that we are always given an opportunity to respond to him. Now, though it would be nice to say, yes, we already know this, this is not new news. But sadly, it is new news to many. And I'm sure that most of us have people in our lives whom we love and care for that do not know that Jesus loves them, or that they were created to be in relationship with him as well as with others. And they do not know that they can listen to God speak to them through the words in the Bible by the Spirit, our wonderful counsellor. But also, having this time to recall the Christmas story, it reminded me of another thing, of the importance of being devoted to knowing God's whole story. We have just read Jesus' birth story, but everybody has a story. We know our stories, and our dominant story influences and shapes to different degrees our thoughts, words, and actions. But as followers of Jesus, what a challenge we are given in 2 Corinthians 10:5 to be working towards taking every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. And here I think of my own story. When I was younger, my primary focus was around where I lived as a child. I knew that my grandfather had come from England after the First World War and bought a wheat farm in country Victoria. I could recall my story with the focus being we were third generational farmers. But from this childhood story, I allowed it to shape my identity. And even after I left the area, I still put a lot of effort into finding out more about my story. A bit like adding colour to the picture. So when I was backpacking in my mid-20s, I visited the town where my grandfather was born. I saw the house he was born in. It wasn't a barn. And the church where the family name can be seen on the wall. And I even made time to sit with the local historian. And although there is nothing wrong with this, what was unhealthy about it was for many years I allowed this story to be my dominant story that influenced my thoughts, words, and actions instead of God's story. Whereas when I recall Luke 2:11, the angels tell the shepherds who Jesus was and his purpose. And in God's story, we too can discover our identity and purpose. And as Michael reminded me in our prayer time, we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Today, I'm using words found in a book titled Saturate to paraphrase God's story. It goes like this. From Genesis to Revelation, God created. Humans rebelled. God pursued humanity and called a people to himself. Eventually, through a people, a child was born, the God-man, Jesus. He came to live the perfect life we cannot, to die in our place so that we can be forgiven, and to rise again from the grave to deliver us from sin and death. And one day he will return to bring about a final judgment and a new creation, where all who belong to him will enjoy new life with him forever. And we are living in the time between what God has already done through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and what he will do in the end. And God is still writing his story, and what we are doing in this moment, we are part of. So during the week, reflecting on God's story, I asked myself these questions. What time am I setting aside for God to reveal more of himself in his story? How is his story shaping my story? How well do I know God's story that includes the birth of Jesus? Is my story centered around Jesus? And could I tell my story where it could be seen as a signpost to others that I have a relationship with a living God who I love? But these are my questions, and I'm sure you will have your own questions upon thinking on God's story. This morning, I've shared my thoughts on what stood out for me when reading about the birth of Jesus as told by Luke. I wonder, when you listen to this story, what stood out for you? Secondly, I shared my thoughts on how the shepherds responded to the messenger, the angels, and the news that a new king had been born. This passage in Luke shows that God can break into our reality in supernatural ways. The shepherds were going about their normal life, and then the angels appeared. Yet, this story also allows us to reflect upon the fact that we too have a relationship with Jesus, and how every day we have the opportunity to listen to God speak to us through the words in the Bible by His Spirit. And how every day we are given the opportunity to respond to Jesus. And here I think back to the shepherds and their response to Jesus found in verse 20. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for what they had heard and seen. It had all happened as they had been told. And as I invite Michael and the worship team to come back up the front and lead us in a time of worship and a time of prayer, I'm thankful that we have another opportunity to respond to Jesus.